if you can't tell, I am a patriot. I believe in America. I believe in Jesus Christ, first and foremost. But I believe in this nation. And I believe the founding fathers of this nation, as depicted in that song and that video, believed in Jesus Christ and in God. And they placed our nation on a path that no other nation has ever been placed on other than the children of Israel themselves. And it's a heritage that we should not ever, ever forget. And it's one in which we should be willing to lay down whatever's before us and die for if we need to. So that our children and our children's children and theirs on beyond that will still live in an America, in a United States, where they can worship the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and not fear those who would come in. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying through this particular passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles, and we've finished that, and we're moving on now. We're talking about some elements of 2 Chronicles now and so forth. But we've learned a lot. In chapter 6, if you have your Bible, I'll turn back just to one page. Near the end, when Solomon has built the temple where God will bring His presence and shine His glory for everybody to see, it says this, "Now, my God, may your eyes be open. May your ears be attentive to the prayers offered in this place." In that same spirit, we should pray that His eyes will be open, His ears will be attentive. In every church house, let freedom ring because of what God has brought to us. "Now arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might," the ark of the covenant. "May your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant." Now there's two things here that I think that Solomon prayed for very specifically in this passage of Scripture. He prayed for the presence of God in their midst. We should never stop praying for that in America. We should never stop praying for that in our church. We should never stop praying for that in our homes or in our lives. He also prayed that that blessing would never leave them, that they would always have God's blessing in their life. And he prayed that prayer proudly and with confidence because God said He would under those conditions. So in the first three verses of chapter 7, I want to read this. It says, "When Solomon finished praying that kind of prayer, fire came down from heaven, and that fire consumed the burnt offerings that were already laid out on the offerings and consumed the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of God filled it." See, we need a revival in America where God's presence is so powerful that we're even afraid to enter into His presence because of our sin. "And when all the Israelites saw the fire coming down from heaven and the glory of God above the temple, they did several things. They knelt on the pavement. They placed their faces to the ground. They worshiped God and they gave thanks to the Lord. And they said, 'He is good. And His love endures forever.'" See, when God's people pray that way, when they humble themselves in that manner, when they fall on their faces and recognize His good, God comes down. And when God comes down, He fills the room with His glory. And thirdly, He gets the glory for being there. We're not here because of us today. This nation's not here because of anything we did or anyone else did. We're here because of God and God alone. There should be within us, as patriots, a sense of awe and respect the Almighty God in our lives. We can't fake that. We can't make His glory come. We could pretend, but if it's not in us, it won't be there. It's not a feeling, it's not an emotion. When God's people pray as they should, when we worship like we ought to, when we act the way God intended, God comes down. He fills the room and He gets the glory, and that's the way it always has been, and that's the way it should be. So if you have your Bible, I want to read through this passage of Scripture, that this great verse of Scripture that I read earlier, 2 Chronicles 7:14, is one of the most quoted Old Testament, along with the 23rd Psalm and some of the commandments and some other verses. It's one of the most quoted verses. It's often misused, so you need to see it in its context. Verse 11 says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace that surrounded it, and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do to the temple of the Lord and to his own palace, the Lord appeared to him. He says, I've heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. What makes this place holy is not that we dedicated it, but that God received that dedication from the goodness or the realness of our heart. When I shut up the heavens, he gives him a warning here. He said, because he knows that we're sinful people. He knows that we fall from grace. He knows that we sin. He says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or I command locusts to devour the land or send the plague among the people. Now he's reminding them somewhat of what happened in Egypt when he released the people. And he's saying, I can do that again. I can allow that to happen in my permissive will. He then says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. For now my eyes will be open when we come into his presence with thanksgiving, when we come correctly. His eyes will be open, his ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen it, and I have consecrated this temple. Why? So that, he says, my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me, you walk in my ways, if you do as I've told you to do, as David your father, he's talking to Solomon, as David your father did, David was a man after God's own heart, and do all that I command, and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as I coveted with David, your father, when I said, you shall never fail to have a man to rule over Israel. But if you turn away, if you forsake the decrees and the commands that I've given you, and you go off to serve other gods, and you worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land. That is so important to hear. The title is Returning to Our Roots. Because in some ways, our nation has been uprooted from its foundation. And we've somehow got to put the roots back where they belong. Because God said to Israel, if you go the wrong way, I will uproot you from my land. We sing, this is my land, this is your land, but this is really God's land. And we need to remember that, and so that it's not uprooted, which I have given you. And he says, then I will reject your temple, meaning I will reject your worship that I have consecrated before my name, and I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among the people. And though this temple is now so imposing, all who pass by it then will be appalled by it and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. at this point in Solomon's life, he has accomplished a great task. He's built and now dedicated the temple. He has celebrated. They celebrated like nobody else has ever celebrated. And when the celebration, after a week-long celebration, was done, he sent people home to return to their lives to do the things they were supposed to do and honor God. And that's when, in that period of rest, God appears to Solomon. Now, there are many debaters about whether this nation is a Christian nation. Just look at that video. Be reminded of where the Word of God is has been etched in granite all through Washington, D.C. Remember what God has said to us. And these 241 years have been a gift, but we're not guaranteed them to last forever outside of what God has done. We have forgotten somewhat how we came to be. It's interesting, if you'll do a little playing on the internet, especially Wikipedia, unless you specifically Google pilgrims, you won't find them listed in most of the lineages about settling America. The Vikings are mentioned, but they're called invaders. The Roman Catholics are mentioned when they came to Mexico, but they are called violent religionists. Europeans, of which most of us are probably descendants, they came, but we're called radical religious sects. And on it goes. This is what our kids see, because they're all over the internet. You see very little mention anymore of the pilgrims. You know why? Because in that story, if you tell it truthfully, they worshiped God after that horrible first winter, a summer of building relationships with the Indians, learning how to grow crops, and being able that Thanksgiving or that fall to give thanks to God in the name of Jesus Christ. They don't want you to hear that. They don't want you to know that anymore. And it's a shame. We're having a politically correct agenda that's tearing us down. In the Old Testament, there was a remnant that came back after all those years of captivity, all those years of ruining. And in that remnant, some rebuilt the wall, some rebuilt the gates, some rebuilt the temple, some rebuilt the houses, some began to farm and grow, but there was a remnant of that remnant who began to recall and write down what God had done for the children of Israel. Thank God we don't have to do that. All we have to go back to are the history books that most of us in this room studied when we were in elementary school. We know the heritage of this nation. David wanted to build the temple. God said no. Solomon built the temple and then he dedicated it to the Lord. And God said, you better keep this place in shape, in order. And for many years, he did just that. He did the job. So when you read here in this passage, there are about five or six things that I want to share with you quickly. Number one, we have to be trusting. Returning to our roots means we have to be trusting. We have to trust in the Lord. He said, if my people, if I'm not a people of God, I've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. But most of us trust in our jobs. Most of us trust in our bank accounts, in our retirement plans, in our positions in life, in our abilities, and even some of the gods we've created. We've got to be a trusting in God alone people for us, for this nation to last. Then we got to be identifying. We got to be identifying with the Lord, who are called by my name. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a Confucianist. I am a Christian. They were first called Christians in Antioch, and they've been called Christians who follow Jesus Christ ever since then. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to anyone and everyone who believes. Jesus said, whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before the Father in heaven. Now I remember as a child singing that little song, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Never forget this. This is a Christian nation founded on Christian principles. And we should never be ashamed of that, to proclaim it to anyone, anywhere, at any time. Thirdly, we got to be submitting. We've got to humble ourselves. If my people, trusting, who are called by my name, identifying, submit, humble ourselves before Him. Now, this is the hard one. This is the hard one. We talked a little bit about last week when I returned to the ending messages on the Lord's Prayer. This is the hard one. Forgiving others their debt. Forgiving others their trespasses. Forgiving those we don't agree with. The Bible says that pride goes before a fall, and the greatest pride we have is unforgiveness. When we don't forgive, we are the most prideful people in the world. We've taken on the rule and reign of God. How dare us do that? Jesus taught us to forgive others. And I read this somewhere. Forgiveness causes spiritual amnesia. I don't have to bring up that past anymore. Whether it's mine, and listen, I got a lot, or yours. It's over with. Because if somebody has a right to bring up the past, it would be Jesus one day. We're to live at peace with all men. Paul says, if it's possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace. Now, what he's saying is, you get to make the choice. You don't have to worry about the other person not forgiving you. You're the only one that counts for you. Fourthly, we need to communicate. Communicating means not just with one another, but with the Lord. It says, and pray. I do pray. And I pray that today that you pray. I remember the story of a husband and wife. They had been married about 14 years, and their marriage had gone silent. There was a lot of darkness in the home. They weren't talking. They weren't communicating. They weren't getting along, and they finally agreed, because everybody on both sides of their family said, you need to get some counseling. And they went to a professional Christian counselor, and they sat there, and in the conversation, just getting to know the counselor and the counselor getting to know them, he realized they just weren't talking to each other. They were talking about each other. They were talking at each other. And they were telling him a lot of information. So the counselor stopped for a moment. He looked at the husband. He said, y'all been married about 14 years now, right? Yes, that's correct. Well, when was the last time you told your wife you loved her? He said, well, that's easy. I told her that 14 and a half years ago when I gave her the ring, and I said if anything changed, I'd let her know. Did you get baptized 14 years ago and say, God, if anything changes, I'll let you know? You got to turn to your wife and say, I love you. I need you. I care about you. You're the love of my life on this earth. And I'll die for you. You got to do that to God too. So if your marriage is in a mess, start there. Take their hands and look at each other in the eye. And as hard as it is to get those words out, I love you. Start somewhere. And with God, the same thing. Start somewhere. I remember a prayer somewhere where a guy said, God, it's me. You may not remember me because it's been that long since I've talked to you. But it's me. Maybe that's where you got to start. And I'm spending a lot of time right here because this is the core of everything of returning to our roots. And if we don't pray, he says, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. To give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If we don't pray, we can't rejoice. If we don't pray, we're not communing with God. If we don't pray, we can't truly, truly be thankful. That is not my phone. Fifthly, following. He said, seek my face. When Jesus came to Peter and to the other disciples, he said, follow me. He didn't say, listen to me. He didn't say, read about me. He didn't say, talk about me. He didn't say, hear what others say about me. He said, follow me. Wherever I go, be faithful and follow me. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all, and his righteousness, and kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If we will follow him by faith after we've prayed like we ought to pray, things will be much different in our lives. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. See, in Jesus' 3-year, very brief ministry, many people came to hear him, to see him, to touch him, to talk about him, to see what was going on, but few of them followed. Many of them, there are many stories of those who fell by the wayside and went some other way. We've got to trust. We've got to identify. We've got to submit. We've got to communicate, and we've got to follow, and then we've got to repent. And not necessarily in that order, because we probably need to repent first. Trust in the Lord with all your heart means I recognize that what I've made with this life is a mess. And it's the best, on my best days, it's still a mess. But I need God. The Bible says we've all sinned. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from our Heavenly Father. We can talk about Him and know Him all, but if we haven't repented of our sin, confessed our sin, asked Him to forgive us of our sin, asked Him to come into our lives, then we've got a major problem that will last for eternity, and it won't be in heaven. So if we don't trust Him, if we don't identify with Him, if we don't communicate with Him, if we don't submit to Him, if we don't follow Him, and we don't repent, we cannot return to our roots. My prayer today for America is that America returns to its roots. But I've got to worry about me first. I've got to return to the roots. You've got to return to the roots. The church, the body of Christ, must return to its roots. And God will hear our prayer, and He will answer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is with a broken heart that we think about some of the things that are happening in this world, but in this nation. Lord, some of the things I mentioned in my prayer. Maybe we're just too cocooned and don't realize how difficult lives are for some people because of sin. Some are just caught up in it and don't know what to do. We need you, Lord. Forgive our nations for not trusting only in you. Forgive us for being ashamed of your name. Forgive us for taking things into our own hands and wanting to only do our own thing. Forgive us for our lack of humility. Forgive us for following the politically correct loud voices and not able to hear the still small voice. Lord, we pray that you will come down and fill our lives so we can give you the glory. Lead us individually, personally. then the church, and then the community, and then on beyond into our nation to repent. Come down. In Jesus' precious, holy name we pray. Amen.